Welcome to the Narracast Tech Briefing. Today, we're unpacking a massive supply chain attack that exposes the fragility of the trust signals we use every day on GitHub.
It's a huge story. When you see a repository with a long commit history and familiar contributors, you naturally assume it's safe. But a new campaign has cloned thousands of projects to distribute malware, bypassing standard security scanners completely.
This really calls into question the viability of automated dependency selection, especially as we hand more of that work over to AI agents.
We'll dig into exactly how the attack works and what it means for the broader ecosystem. Let's get into it.
Let's start with this massive supply chain attack. A security researcher who goes by ORCID recently published findings detailing a network of approximately 10,000 GitHub repositories that were actively distributing Trojan malware.
10,000 is a staggering number, and what makes this campaign so insidious is how meticulously these repositories were designed to look legitimate. The attackers weren't just throwing up blank repos with malicious code. They were cloning real, established projects. And when they cloned them, they copied the entire commit history and the names of the original contributors.
Right. So if you're a developer, or increasingly an AI coding agent, and you stumble across one of these repositories, your initial visual check passes. You see a project that looks like it has years of active development, multiple contributors, a rich history, all the heuristic boxes we mentally tick to say, okay, this isn't a fly-by-night scam, are checked for us.
Exactly. But the actual payload delivery mechanism is surprisingly low-tech, yet highly effective. The attackers didn't bury the malware deep in the source code where static analysis tools might flag it. Instead, they just added a link in the README file pointing to a malicious zip download.
And that choice of using a linked zip file is a very deliberate evasion tactic. According to ORCID's research, if you run that download URL through an automated link-based scanner like VirusTotal, it comes back completely clean. Zero detections.
Because the URL itself isn't malicious, and the automated scanners often aren't downloading the zip, extracting it, and doing deep behavioral analysis on the contents. They're just checking the domain reputation. But the file inside that zip is a Trojan. It's a classic bypass technique, leveraging the gap between network-level scanning and endpoint execution.
So you have fake history and a payload that bypasses basic scanners. The third piece of the puzzle is distribution. How do you actually get developers to land on these cloned repositories instead of the real ones?
This is where the automation gets really aggressive. The attackers set up scripts to repeatedly delete and repush the exact same commit over and over again. By constantly updating the repository, they manipulated GitHub search algorithms and activity feeds. If you searched for a specific tool or library, their malicious claim would often appear right at the top because it looked incredibly active.
It's essentially SEO poisoning, but constrained entirely within the GitHub ecosystem. And this brings us to a major point of discussion in the research brief, the vulnerability of AI coding agents. We're seeing a massive push toward agents that can autonomously research, select, and integrate dependencies.
That's the scariest part of this. A human developer might pause and think, wait, why is the official installation instruction telling me to download a random zip file from a third-party link instead of using a package manager like NPM or pip? We have that spidey sense.
But an AI agent is largely operating on explicit instructions and metadata. If it runs a search, finds a repo with a solid commit history, and the README says download this file to run the tool, the agent is very likely to just execute that command. It's following the documentation of what appears to be a highly documented repository.
And we've seen how these agents operate in terminal environments. They pull the file, they might even try to execute it to verify the installation. At that point, the Trojan is already on the machine. The very automation that makes AI agents powerful makes them incredibly efficient vehicles for this kind of supply chain attack.
It really highlights a systemic issue with how platforms verify integrity. GitHub did eventually remove these 10,000 repositories, but only after ORCID's research gained massive traction on the front page of Hacker News.
Which is a terrible security model. Waiting until a vulnerability goes viral on Hacker News is not a scalable way to handle malware. It raises serious questions about GitHub's internal anomaly detection. how does a platform not automatically flag a network of accounts that are rapidly cloning thousands of repos and continuously force pushing the same commit every few minutes?
You'd think that kind of traffic pattern would light up a dashboard somewhere. It suggests that GitHub's abuse prevention systems might be too heavily weighted toward code scanning and not enough toward behavioral analytics of repository management.
Let's dig into why developers are the prime target here. A Trojan on a random consumer's laptop might get you some credit card numbers. A Trojan on a senior engineer's workstation gets you the keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. Developers have SSH keys, AWS access tokens, production database credentials, and often the ability to push code directly into a company's main product. Compromising one developer can lead to a downstream compromise of millions of users if the attacker can slip a backdoor into the company's official release.
And this ties back to the evasion techniques. When you think about a developer's machine, it's usually highly monitored. Enterprise environments have endpoint detection and response, or EDR, tools running constantly.
But developers also need the freedom to download and execute random binaries to do their jobs. If an EDR system blocks every unrecognized executable, the developer can't work. Attackers know this. They know that if they can just get the developer to intentionally download the file by tricking them into thinking it's a necessary dependency, the developer might even bypass their own security warnings to run it.
And the fact that the virus total scan on the README link comes back clean provides a false sense of security. A cautious developer might actually check that link before downloading. When they see zero detections across 70 different antivirus engines, their guard drops completely. It's a psychological exploit as much as a technical one.
You build trust with the spoofed commit history, you reinforce that trust with a clean URL scan, and then you deliver the payload.
I want to circle back to the automated spoofing of the contributor names. This is particularly devious because GitHub automatically links commits to user profiles based on the email address in the Git config.
Right. Git doesn't verify your identity by default. I can set my local Git email to Linus Torvald's email, make a commit, and push it. Unless the repository enforces cryptographic signing, GitHub will often display that commit as if it came from the real Linus Torvalds, complete with his avatar.
So these attackers simply scraped the Git logs of the legitimate projects, extracted the names and emails of the real developers, and used them to synthesize the fake commit history. When you look at the clone, you see the faces of respected open source maintainers.
It's identity theft on a massive scale, weaponized to distribute malware, and it completely breaks the social proof model of open source. We are trained to trust the people, but the platform is failing to verify that the people actually did the work.
Which brings us back to the platform responsibility. Is GitHub doing enough? This isn't the first time we've seen search manipulation or repo cloning.
They are clearly struggling to keep up with the volume. When attackers can spin up 10,000 repos programmatically, manual review is impossible. GitHub needs to implement much stricter rate limits and behavioral analysis on newly created accounts, especially those that immediately start force-pushing massive commit histories.
Or perhaps flag repositories that contain thousands of commits but zero associated pull requests or issues. A real project with a 5-year history has a paper trail of discussions, bug reports, and code reviews. A cloned repo is just a sterile dump of code.
That's a great point. The metadata footprint of a real community is very different from a script. AI models could absolutely be trained to detect the difference between organic project growth and an automated clone. It's ironic that we need AI to defend against attacks that are uniquely dangerous to AI coding agents.
It's an arms race, and right now, the automation heavily favors the attackers. Until platforms like GitHub implement better verification, developers and the AI agents assisting them need to be incredibly skeptical of where their code is actually coming from.
All right, that's a sobering look at the state of open source security. Let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good.
First up, an interesting feature request on the Claude Code GitHub repository. Users are asking for the ability to inject context into a running agent mid-reasoning, without interrupting or queuing the task. This is addressing a huge friction point in agentic workflows today. Right now, if Claude is working through a complex, multi-step task, and you see it reasoning out loud, saying something like, I need to determine which storage approach to use. You often already know the answer, but you can't easily tell it without stopping the entire process.
Exactly. Cloud Code operates in a terminal-based loop, gathering context and taking actions. While it has lifecycle hooks for predefined events, this request is for true, non-disruptive, human-in-the-loop intervention.
The technical challenge here is fascinating. How do you inject new information into an LLM's context window while it's in the middle of generating a chain of thought, without destabilizing its progress or confusing the output? It's a complex problem, but solving it would make these agents vastly more collaborative.
Moving over to the Java ecosystem, Oracle engineer Lois Foltan has confirmed that JEP 401, Value Classes and Objects, is officially targeting JDK 28 as a preview feature.
This is a massive milestone. Project Valhalla has been in the works for a decade, and this integration involves a pull request of over 197,000 lines of code across more than 1,800 files.
The core goal of Valhalla is to allow developers to create types that code like a class, but work like an int. By enabling objects to be stored by value rather than by reference, Java can eliminate the overhead of object identity and heap pointers.
It's going to significantly improve cache locality and reduce garbage collection pressure. While Brian Goetz notes this is only the first part of Valhalla, it finally bridges that historical performance gap between primitive types and standard objects. It's a huge win for high-performance Java applications.
Next, a quick developer workflow tip making the rounds from Nelson.cloud, reminding us that the project-level gitignore file isn't the only way to ignore files in Git.
Right, we all know the standard gitignore, which is version-controlled and shared with the team, but Git actually provides multiple layers of exclusion. For instance, you can use the git info exclude file, which is entirely local to your specific clone.
That's perfect for personal scripts or environment configurations you don't want to accidentally commit, but also don't want to clutter the shared repo rules with. You can also set up a global user-level ignore file for system-wide noise, like DS Store on macOS.
It's a great practice. Advanced users can even use Git attributes to stop Git from showing diffs for specific files without actually ignoring them. It's all about keeping the shared project state clean while still customizing your local environment.
Finally, Ubiquity has announced their new Enterprise NAS, and it represents a major shift for their storage lineup. Priced at $3,999, it's a 3U rack mount unit with 16 hot swap drive bays.
The biggest news here is that this is the first UniFi storage product to utilize the ZFS file system. Previous models used ButterFS and were heavily criticized for lacking enterprise features.
Under the hood, it's running an 8-core ARM processor, 64 gigs of ECC RAM, and features dual 25 gigabit SFP ports. The move to ZFS brings support for RAID Z configurations, self-healing, and immutable snapshots.
They've also finally introduced iSCSI support, making it viable for virtualization platforms like Proxmox and VMware. Ubiquity is clearly aiming to compete with established vendors like Synology and QNAP, bringing serious IT infrastructure capabilities into the centralized UniFi management ecosystem.
And that wraps up today's briefing. As always, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes.
If you found today's deep dive on the GitHub supply chain attack insightful, consider sharing the episode with your security team. It's a threat vector we all need to be watching.
We'll be back tomorrow with more of the latest news in AI, hardware, and software engineering.
Thanks for listening to the Narracast Tech Briefing.